Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 346. We are chugging light right along, Chris, on this road to WrestleMania. Or you maybe feel like you hit a roadblock on your way to WrestleMania from a storyline perspective. Well, you said that, I'm sorry, you just said that there wasn't much to talk about, and I thought that that was a decent way to get into it.
Oh, I kind of meant in comparison to last week and having the whole Hogan trial to occupy the majority of our time instead of spending an hour talking about the week in wrestling.
Yeah, that part is definitely true. There is, as you predicted, I in no way have paid attention to Hulk Hogan's trial, ever since, those 2 days that he was on the stand. I have no idea where that thing stands.
Still going on. I haven't been paying attention to it really either.
So I'm sure we'll hear the end of that at some juncture. It'll become a hot news item again. But yeah, it is really all wrestling because there isn't... I mean, the only thing sort of outside of wrestling, but still in wrestling, is Neville breaking his ankle last night.
Yeah, that was quite the scene. And it was definitely something, almost a peek behind the curtain. That we saw with Jericho, quite obviously losing his cool, you know, well, especially in particular with the referee.
Oh, yeah. I guess I hadn't really paid attention, to be honest. Like, sometimes when I'm playing catch up, I do kind of get into that hurry up mode, and because they were on right before the main event, weren't they?
Yeah, they were undone right. On right before the main event segment. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess I honestly didn't even think about it. Like, I was more worried about getting through the segment, and when it was a DQ, I was like, "Oh, this is." I mean, I did think it was really strange. But now it makes a little more sense.
Yep. I guess it does.
And that's too bad. I mean, I like Neville a lot, but he's another one of those guys that he's been called up and they've gotten over Red Arrow, but he doesn't have any other substance to him, you know, at this juncture in his career.
No, not at all. They've done nothing with him. Obviously, they don't think he can talk very well. They don't. They've had issues with his looks from the beginning. Maybe they should have gone forward with him under a mask. Maybe they think that things would be better for him if they had. But now he's just kind of just a guy who does cool flippy stuff in the. On the lower card, and gets brought up whenever they need someone to lose to someone who's a bigger star.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's kind of another guy where I would think that he would be able to occupy at least a position slightly higher than what he's at the current moment. I would not imagine that he'd end up being a world champion at some juncture, but. Just because of all those reservations between the talking and, you know, the looks. Yeah, I mean, I think his moves are good enough to get him to at least a higher plateau than he's at.
Yeah, they absolutely are. But right now, he just really wasn't in their plans. Although, it looked like they maybe were going to work him into some sort of a multi-man match and... You know, for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, but obviously that's out the window now.
Yeah, I mean, they had mentioned it during that match and during the what was the other match that was taught? Oh, The Miz and who did he fight while Owens was on the microphone?
Sami Zayn.
Oh yeah, Zayn. So, excuse me. Yeah, it did seem like it was going to be a four-way, at least with the four, at least with the four of them. I'm not sure if they were planning on more people being brought into this whole fray or not, because Neville was a little bit of a throw-in. It happened on the Miz's show, so he's kind of easy to include.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that, they kind of they come to their senses on that one and go with Owens versus Zayn one on one.
It would make for a much better match, but I can see, 'cause that's the other one. The US title is another one that's just kind of random. Like, is it really just going to be Ryback and Kalisto?
It looks like it. So the whole thing's kind of asked backwards, with the Intercontinental title having a solid story behind it, but being having a bunch of guys thrown in, and the U.S. title being this the kind of a thrown together angle with two guys that could probably use the extra hands.
I mean, I'm not sure that well, I guess I don't know what their plans are with Kalisto. It would seem, again, like if you give him the IC title, aren't you saying that that guy really should be a singles wrestler?
You mean the U.S. title?
Or the US title, whatever.
But yeah, I think they had an idea when they gave him the title in the first place. I'm not sure exactly where that idea is at. I guess WrestleMania will tell. If they have him beat Ryback, I think that they have bigger plans for him and see something more in him as the quote unquote new Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that you even have that much, you have him go over Ryback.
Right. Otherwise, I guess, you just have Ryback, the bully, destroy someone smaller than him and move on with the US Championship. That poor championship. Poor John Cena. The guy, the guy killed himself for nearly a year to bring that thing up, and look at it now.
Well, and I mean, I guess that's why I tied it in. Both of those championships, honestly, they had at least done some okay things. I think it helped when Dean Ambrose had the IC title somewhat recently for a couple of months.
Yeah, Owens is a pretty featured guy. The IC title isn't that bad off right now.
Yeah, it's just played a little, well, I guess it's played a little too much hot potato for my opinion recently, but outside of that, you are right. It's gotten a little more play and a little more consistent push.
Right, but the US title after John Cena took it to its absolute peak has just fallen so far. It means nothing anymore. Again.
Yeah, because yeah, I mean the WWE is intentionally like, yeah, I guess I don't know why they don't go with Kalisto doing that, and like it just always seems like it's another one of those weird things that the WWE likes to do. Oh, we think we've got a commodity here. Let's pull it back a little bit.
Yeah, they definitely aren't owning any of that, and yeah, it's part of the reason they've got so many issues with a lack of star power.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a way to back them off and then keep them going, but that's another aspect that in a lot of ways they've failed with. Because, I don't know, Kevin Owens is getting his edge back a little bit. But again, with him kind of losing a bit there, he could really use a well, actually any multi-man match, I always think favors the champion anyway.
What are you talking about? In a multi-man match, the champion only has a fraction of a percentage of a chance to a winning. Don't you hear the math?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's something spectacular like a ladder match, that obviously doesn't always concern the ex-champion. But in a regular match, especially at WrestleMania, they really tend to throw those matches together and leave the belt on whoever had it.
Right.
So yeah, I guess, well, yeah, I don't, I was kind of trying to contrast both of the situations a little bit there. And threw us off, I think. What is it, the camera that's killing things here?
I'm not sure right now. For those of you listening right now, I absolutely cannot see Kevin. I can't see his face, his gesture. If this show is a little bit awkward, that's the reason why. I'm very sorry about that.
I mean, it's I do feel, and I guess you had started off with feeling bad for Cena. The WWE, if they can, because even if Ryback wins the title, they still have the chance to pull something off with that championship meaning something. But he would really have to be the bully of the division for a while, and they'd have to commit to it. And I mean, they've had some commitment to Ryback early on, but they haven't shown it at all since then.
No. He's been meandering for quite some time now, and this heel turn or whatever you want to call it, even though he's really not acting that heelish, it hasn't been adequately explained. He's almost talking nice to Kalisto while giving him backhanded compliments. It's a strange dynamic here, and I'm very, very surprised. This is a one-on-one match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's why I've still felt like maybe something would happen with that. Like, I don't know what else, but I don't know who else to throw in there either. Like, it's still so random.
That's a good word for it. It's a very random match with two guys who have nothing in common, who are just a clash of styles, a clash of promos, just a clash of absolute everything.
Yeah, I think that's something else that probably isn't helping me kind of get into this thing either. Like you said, like, he's not right being a dick about it, but he is being a dick about it.
Yeah.
And I think it still takes off the edge a little bit. Like, when he was just kind of the cocky big guy, he had a little more edge to him, and they've taken that off a little bit.
Yeah, they absolutely have. I mean, he had a baby face run for a year or two that just never took off again. It never took off like it did when he was challenging CM Punk. God, it's going on 4 years ago now. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I mean, that's the one thing that's just, 'cause he's just kind of another guy where they've at least given Ryback some wins and kind of kept him somewhat protected, but they still haven't done anything with him at all. Like,
Yeah.
it's just kind of crazy. Like, again, like, either commit to the guy or don't commit to the guy. Like, I don't care which one you do, but
Right. Yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah, it's been start and stop push for the guy for years now. Yeah, it's just they got to commit to him or not. Or I don't know if you throw away or let go of a guy like him, but
right.
Yeah, so I guess you with a guy like that, you either got to push him as a monster or not use him, because there's just no in between with a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's physically huge, and I mean, it's kind of interesting that they've started to mention his added dimensions as far as wrestling goes, and he has shown that in the ring, but it's not really helping his presentation at all.
No. He can do some stuff. I mean, he's not a complete lummox or anything. It's just since he's been around for so long, it starts to stop pushes. Now, he's the guy who will repeatedly get chances, and I mean, maybe somewhat of a poster boy for, you know, what a great body will get you in WWE, as far as, you know, they'll never completely give up on you. They'll get chance after chance.
Oh, there is stuff going on in the background at the Casa de Stunt Granny that need not be mentioned on the show.
Okay.
But what was it? Yeah, so I mean, the WWE really can, like, no matter who they pick in this matchup, they really just need to proceed with them. Like, for both of them, they just need to have something. Like, if Kalisto loses and goes back to the tag division, that's fine by me, I suppose, but I think that he can be more than that immediately, and they need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They could definitely do a lot with Kalisto if they want. We shall see what happens.
Well, and I'm trying to think if I guess the other planned storylines. Because I guess I knew that I was really going to enjoy Dean Ambrose and Paul Heyman jabbering at each other. And this week, one of my favorite segments, I'd have to say, on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good segment there. You know, Ambrose, once again, continues to, in many ways, he's been carrying these shows these last few weeks. Doing a great job. I mean, I like the way he shows no fear of Brock Lesnar. I like the part where he had the tire iron and it was just swinging it wildly. It's what Dean Ambrose would do in that situation. So they've got that character down.
Yes.
Do you hear that?
Took the lead by 30 steps. 30. Twice today I've beat her. Twice! Yes!
Is this coming over on the mic?
Yes, it is.
Outstanding. Okie dokie.
Twice!
Oh, Fitbit rivalries are hilarious. I'll put it to you that way. Fitbit rivalries, they don't go away this early in the evening.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I thought that even the backstage segment was it was a fun one that Dean Ambrose had with Mick Foley. I don't mind him upgrading to a barbed wire bat.
No, not at all. That was a good reveal. I thought that was a really good segment. well done conversation. You know, nice flow of a conversation between the two that didn't seem clip on. I mean, I think we all knew what was going to be in the box. Oh, I'm as surprised as anyone that they're bringing out the barbed wire bat in 2016. That seems to be like a guarantee that there's going to be blood, and that's an interesting approach to this match, or any match that they've had in this PG era.
Yeah, I do feel like they've been letting it slide in some of the bigger matches, and Brock Lesnar has certainly shown a willingness to bleed.
Yeah, yeah, but they've always had the they've always been able to, you know, claim it was an accident. Claim guys went into business for themselves with it. This is something different. This is essentially promising bloodshed.
That is true. That is really true. And part of that segment, I'll always remember, because Foley was talking about the original Hell in a Cell there being in Pittsburgh. We were at one Jeremy Mays' house to watch rental house to watch that one, and it was our friend's first wrestling pay-per-view that she ever watched. And we're like, you're not going to see anything crazier than that. So if you just want to stop tonight, just stop.
Like, yeah, that was quite the night at my house as well. Yeah, could not believe what we were watching, as I'm sure almost everyone at home, and everyone felt the same way.
So yeah, so also kind of drawing that comparison, you know, like you said, they're almost guaranteeing bloodshed, which is that is a very good argument to make there, that I hadn't thought about, which is, yeah, I mean they've always had an excuse if it has happened. Someone's gotten fined. It wasn't meant to happen. And I mean, it's a way, and I guess in some ways it'd be kind of interesting to have, because the WWE, and I think we've talked about this, they compartmentalize what happens in each match, even when they have like multiple kind of hardcore matches.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if they bleed, does it happen in Undertaker Shane?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, and one we will, you know, I guess we'll find out if this is a two blood match show, which I definitely haven't had that in a long time. So, but yeah, absolutely, they're, you know, again, they're definitely gonna let Ambrose and Lesnar go. They're gonna let them do what they need to do to have this wild class, and it's really what they need to do with this, because that's the way this match works. I mean,
well, and it's the only way to get Ambrose, to get a somewhat level playing field.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to say that. Yeah, yeah. Ambrose definitely, you know, Ambrose will have use everything that's not nailed down in his quest to bring down Brock Lesnar. You know, Brock's gonna throw Ambrose all over the place. Ambrose is gonna take some incredible bumps, I'm sure. It's still the match. It's the match I'm most looking forward to, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think it's the same for me, and it does make it really easy to talk about that one. 'Cause I do kind of agree with Heyman. Anyone who's fighting Lesnar is in the main event. Like, it's Lesnar's match has been very important the last several years.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, granted, it was the WWE title last year, so I mean, that helps.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That last year, it was absolutely the main event. I mean, this year, I guess if you look at the top three matches, I guess you'd call it number three on the depth chart, but in reality, it's, especially over the last couple of weeks, I almost want to say that the World Championship match is actually number three on the depth chart, if not the list of the matches people are most looking forward to, without a doubt.
I would agree with that assessment, at least with the later one. In a minimum, no matter how the WWE is rating it, the world title is just, it's there. Like, I don't really have any problems with Roman Reigns, but I don't really care about the storyline either. And him, I understand him paying back Triple H, but it's still kind of heelish to do everything that he did.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely, he was absolutely vicious. I mean, it was a hell of a segment. I'll definitely give him that, and I'll give Roman Reigns credit. Roman Reigns was acting in a way that you would in a fight like that. I mean, he never at one point cocked a fist or never used any moves. He was just a guy looking to beat the hell out of him. You know, the guy who beat the hell who beat the hell out of him. So in that respect, it was really well done. And I guess in many ways, I'll be the one to say, you know, this is how Roman Reigns should have been, you know, portrayed for the last 15 months.
Yeah, it would certainly help out a little bit. But again, they kind of, I think this is one where it's definitely clear that they have a certain who they think he's going to appeal to.
Right, right, right. And, you know, I'm sure by Monday he'll be back to cutting promos where, you know, they give him lines that only work when they're being used by The Rock.
Oh, man. Yeah. And Rock is pretty much the only one that can get away with a lot of that stuff.
Right, 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 right. But very good segment. Great intensity from Roman Reigns. I mean, I don't think he was going to be cheered in Pittsburgh, so I don't know if that's that bad of a situation, but yeah, I don't see the majority of the crowd cheering him at WrestleMania. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're doing everything that they can to build things the right way. I mean,
yeah,
they're making Triple H look like a dick for the most part. You can kind of understand the retribution, at least, that Roman Reigns dished out on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H has been phenomenal, though, you know, the last couple of weeks. He's, you know, especially, I mean, he carries himself. I mean, he was giving the I'm better than you speech to the audience that we've heard from, you know, dating back to 1998 from Vince, but, you know, he delivered it very well. He had two really, 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 really good matches in 48 hours. I mean, when was the last time Triple H had two matches in 48 hours?
You know? Right. And I mean,
it's been like about 6 years.
And it was a good idea. I watched all of Roadblock, or more precisely, listened to all of Roadblock, except for the main event there. Which is a bit unfortunate. But Triple H did have a very good match with Dolph Ziggler, which I mean, I'm not surprised that he's had good matches with people that he's had good matches with. because Dean Ambrose is an excellent wrestler, and Dolph Ziggler, you know, for all the flaws of his character, it's never been an in-ring work issue with him.
No. And he played his role very well. Everything about that, you know, everything about it worked. There were time moments where I believe, you know, Triple H is very good at that. He's very, very good. He's, you know, dating back to his first big run. You know, it's just, you know, taking someone who's an underdog and making people believe that the guy has a chance. That they, you know, taking the crowd on the ride with every near fall. He did it with Taka freaking Michinoku back, you know, 15, 16 years ago. I mean, the guy is, when it comes to laying out matches like that, you know, I'll give him credit. The guy is a genius.
Yeah. It's good to get Triple H some wins too, because he hasn't been on, and I mean, he doesn't quite have, as much as people respect him, I don't think he has the mystique of the Undertaker, who gets to, come in once a year and wrestle a match.
No. Triple H has never quite had that. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good to see him back in the ring, and he's, once again, he's still performing at a very high level. I have no concerns about the quality of the match he'll have with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I'm sure they'll have a very, very good match. It's just, unlike the Dean Ambrose match, unlike the Dolph Ziggler match, will the crowd, will the crowd play along with the story told, or will they, again, Triple H is very smart when it comes to laying out matches. Will they kind of improvise and go in a different direction with the story of this match?
They don't. That's it. Jeremy and I were trying to figure out our schedule for the WrestleMania match previews, and we at least wanted to wait until there were two. There's only two Raws left until WrestleMania.
And I'll be out of town that week, so whatever WrestleMania preview stuff you guys want to do, that's all you.
Well, we need to start before that. Like, even, it was just crazy looking at the matches and the proposed matches, because I believe that there were only five things mentioned on the WWE's WrestleMania website. We've touched on most of the topics. I mean, Shane and Undertaker, we haven't really talked about. Was one of the other matches. So there was Ambrose, Brock, Triple H, Roman Reigns, and then this one. That was three of the five matches that they had listed. I don't know. Like, I guess as far as the Undertaker one, there isn't much more to say. Like, that is a feud that, it has the star power, but I guess I don't know where the storyline is still.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. I mean, right now, The Undertaker is with Vince, but not with Vince. I mean, this is his assignment. This is what he's got to do. He's right now, he's showing no outward signs of sympathy for Shane. I mean, he's obviously showing annoyance with Vince, and of course, I'm sure that's going to grow over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, not a lot of development there. It's just, for right now, I mean, if they are going to go with the story of the match where Undertaker grows, sympathetic to Shane and even possibly lays down for him, I don't think they're gonna play that up on TV at all. I think that, it's gonna be like what we've seen, that Undertaker is determined to to beat Shane at WrestleMania because it's what he does.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you summed it up well. You know, they're just, there isn't much to say. I guess that's why I can kind of blow it off and hit the number four topic for WrestleMania matches, which is the Divas Triple Threat match.
Which, really nothing happened with. Neither Sasha nor Becky were even on the show. Which is a strange call, and then in Charlotte only having a quick promo to promo her promo on SmackDown.
They have been trying to get people to tune in to SmackDown for some reason or another. There isn't that much of a reason to turn into it.
It's been an enjoyable show since it moved to USA. It's an easy to watch show. It usually has one or two good matches.
That is the thing. Like, I mean, I'm not. I always mention it if I do review it. I watch that thing in somewhere between an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just because there are so many video packages. Because and I think I keep on noting it because I even saw Wade Keller mention how much better Mauro Ranallo is compared to Michael Cole, and I'm like, it's a completely different show. Just
right.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, agreed. But yeah, so nothing much to really talk about on the Divas front is at least the main Divas. It looks like the rest of the Divas are going to end up in some sort of a big tag team match.
Yep. Team Lana versus Team Bella.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. You know, the battle lines are being drawn. They worked with the six girls on Raw, but I imagine if you're gonna have, you know, six girls in the match, you might as well throw, you know, Summer Rae and Natalya on each side, so, you know, they're not left off the show. So I could see an eight woman thing there.
I would imagine that to be the case, because I don't think there's anyone else really on the active roster at this point.
No, nothing.
I think that'd cover all the Divas, really.
Yeah, that covers all the Divas, and I guess we can also now move on to the final announced match, the match that, until it happens, I do not believe that it will make the main card. The Usos versus the Dudleys. I'm fairly certain that's going to end up on the kickoff show.
Yes, if I am not getting to AT&T Stadium, if I get to AT&T Stadium early enough for the kickoff match, I fully expect it to be the Usos versus the Dudleys.
Absolutely. I don't see that making the main show, because as it is, the main show is going to have starting to look like, you know, maybe 8 or 9 matches. I don't even know if The Rock's going to have 30 minutes. Going to have a 30-minute talking segment.
Oh,
we'll always find a way to work that in. We shouldn't worry about that.
Well, I was lobbying the Jeremy Coalition that the League of Booty should be opposed by New Day and The Rock.
I guess
it's not
there, but you definitely to have that. You need to have that announced by Raw on Monday if they're going to go in that direction.
Yeah, I don't think they are, and I don't see it happening. But
I've thought that myself, but I don't see it. I mean, you could definitely protect The Rock in a match like that without a doubt.
Yeah, he would definitely be limited for his in-ring work, so maybe he doesn't injure himself this time around.
Right. But no, I don't see it being that.
No.
I mean, looking up and down the roster, I don't I mean they've already done the thing where the New Day recruited Mark Henry and then abandoned him, so it wouldn't make sense for it to be Mark Henry. And yes, I'm completely thinking, you know, totally along the lines of another black guy, which the only person that I would think of is, and maybe you'd get a good reaction and you would be a good for public relations move for WWE, is maybe have it be Titus O'Neil.
Yeah, Jeremy came up with two good names. One was Titus O'Neil. The other one would be a little more surprising, but still would fit the bill. There, which would be Apollo Crews.
That would be possible. That could work.
So that would be kind of funny if Apollo Crews was on the same team with Consequences Creed.
That would be amusing. I'm sure something that would only be amusing to the two of them.
Yeah, I would imagine that a decent chunk of the WWE audience is unfamiliar with Xavier Woods' old work.
Yeah, probably.
Very old work at this point. That is going to be one of the matches that it isn't added officially yet to the WrestleMania card, but that one is happening.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no way after the challenge laid down. There's no way that New Day is going to say no. So yeah, but you know whether it is going to be a 4-on-4 situation, we will see. I guess you could do a 6-man and have Barrett sit it out, but if there isn't, you know, a fourth guy, you know, that they want to put with a New Day.
I do think that it's a prime spot for a special guest appearance by, again, somebody that can be protected. I guess that's half a reason why The Rock popped in my head, too.
Oh, it popped in my head, too. You're not alone there. I don't think it's going to happen. It'd be great if it did.
Right. Definitely agreed. I guess I was trying to think of because I was just surprised that the WWE doesn't have a special guest somewhere on the card, like outside of The Rock. They always seem to have some type of celebrity in a segment at WrestleMania. So I'm kind of surprised that no celebrities kind of been intertwined with any storyline yet at this juncture. And that's, to me, that's another place that you could put them in. But right, I don't know who you put in there. I think I joked to Jeremy it'd be awesome to see Wesley Snipes in there.
Yeah. That would be something.
And I'm trying to think of we did already skim through Kalisto and the other match. Is there anything else to cover? I feel like we mowed through things here this week.
we pretty much mowed through things. I mean, nothing's really sticking out to me.
I guess, is there anything to talk about NXT wise?
I guess you're caught up on last week's episode, right?
Yes, sir.
I guess there's been quite the debate about, well, how good the 2 out of 3 falls main event, or only match on the show was. I think it was the main event. you know, interesting presentation. Kind of old school, especially the way that they had the announcers hype up what was supposed to be on the rest of the show that didn't end up happening. That's actually a pretty old school trick the rare times when an old TV wrestling TV show would have like this one big long match happen throughout the entire show and all the other matches got kind of, you know, got postponed. I like that element of it. I mean, the match was good, but probably not great. I wouldn't go as far as to call it great. What about you?
Yeah, that was one where I kind of wanted to go back and talk about and I'm glad you brought it up because I did actually forget that I had just watched that. But I wanted to go back and kind of talk about the presentation and stuff like that, and I never got around to writing that update. And I did dig that they started, like, as commercial breaks wore on, they're like, oh, we're going to have to, like, they were even talking about, oh, we're going to have to cut A, B, and C segments, but we're still hoping to do this and this. Like, it was kind of funny how they're even like, okay, we still have the time to do this if this match ends.
Yeah. That part of the presentation was, that was really good. That's Triple H, you know, is 80s, you know, NWA Jim Crockett Promotions influence shining through, because, you know, that's kind of the thing about Triple H. Did not grow up a Hogan fan. He grew up a Ric Flair fan. He grew up watching more of that TV, which was kind of the interesting part about his approach to, you know, booking television versus Vince.
Right. And I think I do tend to agree with you that even though the match took up that much time, it wasn't like one of the best 2 out of 3 falls matches. I did appreciate the fact that they did not have the falls happen close together.
Right.
Which happens all too much. So that end of things, I guess, I guess it's a different aspect of the presentation that I really like. Because those things, I hate when one guy gets the fall and then the other guy gets the fall to tie it up like less than 5 minutes later or something of that nature. Think the right guy, well, not I think, but obviously the right guy won. Like, having Finn Balor is a babyface champion, it's much better to have heel Joe going against him NXT Dallas.
Absolutely. I you know, the right guy won. I mean, I guess they timed it with, you know, with Sami Zayn's promotion to the main roster. Sami Zayn's probably last NXT show is going to be the Takeover Dallas against Shinsuke Nakamura. I guess it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the long term plans are for you know, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. That will be very much told by this match. I mean, obviously, whoever wins is staying in NXT, and whoever loses, they're free to go to the main roster.
Yeah, because I don't know. I hope they don't pull the Kevin Owens, which is have him have the belt when he moves on to the main roster. I mean, I'm okay with getting that off of them before they move along. You know, I guess it's kind of interesting because, You know, I guess I worry about Finn Balor on the main roster just because the smaller guys haven't done as well, and I think Neville's one of those guys. I just think and Tyler Breeze is one of those guys too.
Yeah, I see your point, and I agree, but I think Finn Balor has something more than those guys as far as the look, charisma. He's not that short. He's got a better body than those guys do. So, well, not a better body than Neville. I shouldn't say that. But no, I think that, well, it's largely because of his years in Japan. He's got, you know, he carries himself more like a star than the other guys do. So I think he's got more presence, more charisma. I don't worry as much about him.
Yeah, I can see that is a good counter argument. But yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to see what they which way they go with that. Come Dallas. So.
And of course, with Samoa Joe, is the clock is definitely ticking as far as his ability to, you know, have a productive run on the main roster. So you think you'd want to get him up as soon as possible and, you know, run him through the big matches. You'd want to have him in.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm going to have to look it up to see how much of a difference there is in age there.
Yeah, I believe Finn Balor is also about 34 or 35 as well. Joe is, I think, is closer to 38. I don't have my
in
front of me right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I was just kind of interested. Samoa Joe, 36.
Oh, okay.
And Finn Balor, 34. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that really for both of them, it's they need to be there sooner rather than later. I mean, yeah. Just because, again, just really like Kevin Owens and like Sami Zayn, and really even Daniel Bryan before him and CM Punk, really, they put in a lot of time in ROH and elsewhere before getting to the WWE. And these guys really are, Samoa Joe obviously is no different, Finn Balor is no different. It's just all kind of been later down the line.
Right, yeah. So yeah, it's definitely going on time for really both of them to make it to the main roster. And I don't believe Nakamura is supposed to, you know, spend too much time in NXT either. So I think that one of the things that they're going to need to do is set up somebody, and I think maybe the best candidate would be Apollo Crews to take over the mantle as the franchise of NXT.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, even in his defeats, I missed the one against Finn Balor, but I did see the rematch. And it was a good match, and they've had him start winning again. You know, alibite against some squash matches, but it works to help rebuild him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see him taking that mantle. Because, and that was the one that surprised me a little bit on Roadblock there. Enzo and Cass losing to, is it called the Revival now?
Yes, they're the Revival, yeah.
I didn't feel like they were giving them a name when I've been watching, you know, since I've been watching consistently here now. You know, they seem like another team that's kind of primed to be called up just because they've done everything that they could in NXT except for literally win the titles.
Yeah, yeah. They belong in, you know, the main roster, you know. Opening match tag team guys, get the crowd flared up. I mean, that's definitely, you know, their role, even if they never win the WWE Tag Team Championships. But, you know, that can be their role on house shows and TV and pay-per-view. It's looking like they're setting up Jordan and Gable for, you know, tag team titles at TakeOver Dallas, and I could easily see the, you know, the titles change there. I wouldn't be a surprise at all.
No, because that team's been a lot of fun. I do like what I've seen of Dash and Dawson. I like them.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I like their old school tag team work and look, and it works for them. It certainly works for them in NXT. Not sure exactly what their future would hold on the main roster, but for right now, yeah, they're good in their role on NXT.
Yeah, because even though they have kind of ordinary looks, to me they're still more distinctive than Blake and Murphy.
Oh yeah, they're definitely more distinctive than Blake and Murphy. I still can't tell them apart, and I don't really care to.
So yeah, I can see them doing at least something or sticking around NXT. Or maybe just going singles, because I felt like, were they singles wrestlers before?
Oh, I have no idea, actually. I have no memory of them before they started teaming, and or even really before they won the tag, but before they... I'm trying to think. I think I want to say the... for Dash and Dawson, the first time I really took note of them was at that NXT TakeOver with the Dusty Tag Team Tournament, and they had the match with Balor and Joe.
Oh.
That was probably the first time I think I paid any attention to them, for them at all, and I was impressed.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, I think we've run through enough. We actually got in a nice 15 minutes of NXT there. So, let's not, make this, any longer than it needs to be.
Okay.
For at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, at Stunt Granny the Brand, grandkids, have a good night.
Later.